He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners, or good day to our listeners, for this week's version of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. I'd like to start out with a political question about politics and car sales, because I'm looking at a headline here, and I want Jay to comment after I finish discussing the headline. Silicon Valley rebuffs Tesla as cars age Musk annoys. The Musk annoys part is the part I want to discuss, because I don't think of people as buying cars or trucks based on politics in general, but this particular headline is related to a story about registrations on Tesla vehicles declining significantly as against what sales of other electric vehicles are doing, which in many of the other cases is increasing slightly to significant. One of the things I don't think that is happening in the Teslas, Jay, and I want your opinion about that, are Teslas becoming old. I don't see the Teslas as looking old from a visual standpoint. The story that I'm looking at the headlines on says that the technology hasn't changed much, the cars haven't changed much, and as a result, sales may be declining besides an annoyance with Musk for his politics because they don't look new. I think the Tesla looks very good. Before you start talking, I think the Teslas continue to look very good, even though they haven't changed much in design over their 10 years that they've been out. And people who have Teslas love them, and I don't see that people would necessarily change because it was just an old-looking vehicle. What do you think?
So, you started with the political question and then went on to the, design of the Teslas and why they may be selling or selling.
Well, headlines tend to have reasons why car sales are falling, and I don't think the design is a valid situation, but so be it. Continue.
Well, the design relating to the question of whether Tesla technology has evolved or not. A few comments. First of all, I think the most modern looking Tesla is still the original Model S, which came out in 2013. And that design has not changed, and I still think it's a beautiful, large sedan. And though that design has not changed since 2013, the Model 3 design, which came out in 2017 or 18, so, 5 years after the Model S, the infamous $30,000 EV we were all waiting for years ago, actually has been redesigned from a design aesthetic standpoint. And I do think the Model S looks better than the Model 3. And I think if you ask a lot of people, they'll agree with that assessment, even though I think the Model 3 is actually a good-looking car.
I do, too. I agree.
Now, but relating to the evolution of the technology, let's remember that Musk has always said that he does not have any model years, right? So the Tesla product has been changing and evolving over the years, and you can have changes occur midway through a model year. How the heck they keep track of that, I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty sophisticated software. But the cars have evolved actually quite a bit, the battery technology has evolved. A lot of the components have evolved. So I think that's a false argument saying that technology has not evolved in the Tesla world.
No problem with that.
The political aspect of it, I do think Elon Musk's positions have forced some people to rethink their love
Tesla loyalty
or not for Tesla.
Right.
And not only from a purely political standpoint of his, but also in the way that Tesla has marketed its vehicles, where prices have gone up and then they go down, and they yo-yo, and people really don't want to pay, let's say, $60,000 for a car today, that might be on the market, you know, next month for $10,000 less or $5,000 less.
Right.
So I think all of those things come into play in Tesla's kind of current struggles.
Okay. But I don't see, you know, do cars get old visually to you in general?
Yes.
On a regular basis?
Very quickly. Short answer, yes. Some cars get old very quickly.
This is why the American manufacturers consistently, well, they used to do, what did they do? The timing for new vehicle looks used to be as long as 3 or 4 years, and then as other models competed or makes competed with them, they started putting new front ends or new hoods or new taillight systems in more quickly than in 3 to 5 year cycles. And to a large degree, as far as the American manufacturers are concerned, I find that that makes a significant visual difference to me, and in many cases, a higher or maybe even a lower appeal over a previous model cycle. But that's all a very personal situation to anybody who, when they go to buy a car, spends a lot of time deciding whether the design of the car is a major reason they're doing it, or whether they just want to get the newest vehicle in the car line that they might have been buying over the last 10 or 15 years. Tesla has not done that. Yes, they visually changed the Model 3 a little bit, but I have yet to be able to tell at length, at a distance at least, whether I'm looking at a 2024 Model 3 versus a 22 or 21 Model 3. I know the taillights change a little bit and the headlights change a little bit, but the basic body style has not changed. And I find that body style appealing, quite frankly.
Well, go and buy one.
Would I buy a new one every 3 years if it continues to stay the same? I don't know the answer.
See, I don't
As you say, the technological updates are going ongoing, and many of them are updatable over the Internet from a technology standpoint. So it's not a question of whether the dashboard design is going to change and make it look more appealing. The dashboards are very simple in Teslas anyways.
Yeah, see, I don't like the outer appearance of the Teslas. Too bulky. I wish they would make a change in it.
All right, but that's an opinion, and people who don't like a particular car are never going to buy it. I'm looking at the Fiat Cinquecento E, which is going to be the only model of the Fiat Cinquecento left in the U.S. market, and it's 147-mile range electric, and it's going to be designed to be marketed for commuter people who don't drive a whole lot, and it'll be easy to park. And probably cheap to run. Do I like the looks of it? Not at the picture I'm looking at right now. It doesn't appeal to me. But so be it. Maybe some people don't worry about that when they're looking at a vehicle just for run around the town or urban runaround situations.
Robin, let's just be clear. It doesn't matter. The Fiat is dead in this market again.
I agree with you there, Jay, but I didn't want to bring it back to that point on this discussion.
Now,
you said that about the Nissan cars in a recent other week show we had, and you said Nissan's dead too.
It's an opinion. It's what should I say? I mean, this is what I think.
Fortunately, our opinions aren't going to be the death of a manufacturer. Something else will do that.
Yes, but the reality is there are less and less Nissans on the road.
Correct, but there are Infinities, and they are a Nissan product.
There are not that many Infinities.
I think they're doing better, though, than the Nissans are, but not by much. Anyways, let's go to other things. What do you have on there? You had something you were going to talk about.
No, I was just I wanted to get your opinion on you're always keeping track of lease deals and finance charges, and what do you think the Fed's rate cut is going to do for the automotive industry consumers?
I apply some of this next comment to the same thing in the real estate market because we used to have what the current interest rates are on car purchases and also house purchases back in the early 2000s before the 2008 slump got into place. And then we were spoiled by 2.5%, 2.75% mortgages on houses and very, very low financing rates down in 3% range, between 3 and 4% through banks for cars. And anybody who purchased either product in that time with those interest rates think that everything that is now available in the financing range of 6%, and it was up as 7%, is high. And the Fed rate, the recent Fed rate reduction of 0.5% is going to lower some of those rates, but they're still not back down to the pre-2000, well, 10, 11, 12, 7 rates. And the only real bargains in terms of financing of vehicles, which is countered by the fact you don't get, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 off, is 0% financing that can be offered by the manufacturers. Banks are still pretty high. AAA, I think, is down closer to 6% in some new cars, but they haven't gotten into 5 or 4% yet. So I don't know if that's really going to affect or the recent rate, Fed rate reduction is going to make jumpstart the purchase situation in either cars and, in many cases, some levels of houses. We've been spoiled by those low rates, and I'm locked in at some low rates, and why would I sell my house? I'm not helping my real estate business by suggesting why would you sell your house if you've got a mortgage at 2.5% or 3%, and you're about to go buy a house, and it's going to be 6.5%.
So you're not buying any new cars either.
And to say I'm not buying any new cars either. So I'm counter to what everybody would like to think that lowering Fed rates is going to do to both car sales and that. As you pointed out in a communication with me, car debt is the next is second highest debt, and the highest debt is house debt.
Yes, and actually now I was reading an article just yesterday that car debt has surpassed student loans in people's
debt load.
Overall debt load, yeah.
Okay, and I think that there are going to be a lot of car people that are in debt that are going to be having trouble making their payments in a while, and there may be a lot of repossessions going on, but that happens in life.
So what do you think of the used car market? Should people look at used cars instead?
Well, I think they're doing that. I think the used car market is robust. There are cycles in that, too, as there are cycles in new car market sales and house sales and all that kind of thing. People are driving some of the new used cars are very good purchases, although the interest rates for I think financing a used car are in many cases higher than a new car. So it all comes down to what is the end price, and you divide by the number of months you're going to finance it, and can you afford that particular purchase rate, at whether it's new, used, or whatever. And that's a lot of about financing life anyways.
So have you seen any articles on driver assist systems? And distracted driving, and the fact that there are studies out there pinpointing that the driver assist systems are actually creating more distracted driving and actually not helping.
Well, I think part of the problem is I have not read many articles about it, but I've been driving an Audi A5 with slight driver assistance system in it in regards to lane keeping technology, which is in many cars these days.
Yes.
I find that that system somewhat distracting in itself, because sometimes it is working and sometimes it isn't. And if you find that it's working in certain instances, then you tend to get confident that if your car is weaving out of a lane and the lane-keeping technology is going to push it back into the middle of the lane, works only part of the time,
Interesting you mentioned that, because I was driving a car just this past week, which I thought had really good lane keeping capability.
I know what you're talking
about.
Some
are better than others. Some really just have you bounce right off the lane and back in,
yep.
you know, the other side. Others just kind of correct your line, which is pretty good. And I thought, this one's pretty good. And then I saw, like, you know, the line was not clear on this one side of the road.
Yep.
And the guardrail was pretty close.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, let's give it a shot. Let's see what it's going to do. And then it scared the living Jesus
right.
out of me.
Right, exactly my point. I find that systems are quite erratic, and you don't know when they're going to suddenly not do what they were doing 3 miles earlier on a road. And it may
so
be because the lines
be...
are not as bright or haven't been repainted or they're broken.
So here's the bottom line. They are there to help you if you are distracted, and they may not help you in 100% of the cases, but in a lot of cases, they will correct your trajectory, right?
Yeah, but it does not allow you to. This is the point, though, and let me interrupt you because I want to get to the automatic braking systems, which are causing some trouble too.
Yeah,
that are increasingly mm-hmm. becoming. Well, I think they'd like to be mandated in every car, but apparently the automatic braking systems are not functioning in a regularly solid way, and sometimes they're going on, and people aren't ready for them to do what they do to suddenly stop a car because what is there in front may not be actually there. So
let's get to that in a second. Let's just finish with the lane
keeping.
Changing.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what you were.
Well, the lane keeping on my end is just I just won't take my hand off the wheel.
Thank you very much. And
okay.
There you have it. I think it has to be just that. It's a safety net, and the safety net doesn't work 100% of the time, but it is just that. It's not a self-driving feature, and that is.
It is not a self-driving feature to let you take your hands off the wheel and
some people are bothered by the fact that every time they get close to the center line, the car pulls back a little bit. And again, I find some systems to work better than others, and I also
find
that some driving conditions are more appropriate for having the systems on. And maybe driving, you know, in our neck of the woods where we have a lot of little twisties and when we, you know, most of the time remain focused on the road, first of all, we're not driving all that long, so we can, you know, drive 5 or 10 miles and stay focused for that time. But we have to be careful that if we do disconnect the system, that it lets you know clearly on the dashboard that it is off. And maybe by default it should be on, you know, like a bunch of these systems. And I find some.
Well, I noticed with the Audis that I've driven that if you go onto cruise control, the systems go into active motion, lane keeping sensitivity, which is probably the logical way to have them be activated. I'm not aware that they activate themselves when I'm driving the vehicle and not putting it into cruise control. I don't think they are actually lane keeping. Their systems are active at that point, so I think Audi's got it connected to the cruise control system when they put it in place. But it's still not stable.
I think yes and no.
You can spend time discussing
again,
it, or, you know, testing it now. And we're talking about Audi specifically. I know nothing about the Volvos or any of the American systems at all, as you are probably more familiar than that because you drive so many different cars in your business.
Well, I think there are two different things. There's the and same with the and now we can get to the emergency the automated emergency braking systems. You know, there's those features, those capabilities allow both some level of self-driving. And or they are purely a safety net when drivers are distracted. And then when it comes to you know, the automated emergency braking systems, it's one thing to have the auto cruise control system on where the car will slow down for traffic in front, and it's another thing to have, you know, that feature disconnected the automated braking system will still, you know, come in and go into effect if it senses a vehicle being too, an object being too close in front. And again, we've all, or some of us have been, you know, to say the least, surprised at when the system comes into action.
Yes, to say the least, it's good. And this is what's been going on with, I think, with some of the braking systems that have been going off without the need to have gone off at the level they go off. When the automatic braking systems that we got used to were actually more braking systems, if you hit the brake in an emergency because you saw something up ahead, some electronic computer-driven assist took over when you pushed hard on the brake because it sensed that you wanted the car to stop as quickly as possible. But you had started the process, so you were expecting something to happen to you, the being, you know, held in the seat by the seatbelt so you didn't hit your face on the wheel or whatever else. Now they're going off when you don't expect it, and it can be quite a shock.
Well, and this was some time ago, and I might have told this story before. I was driving a Volvo XC90 with you know, the automated braking system, and I was on one of those long stretches on Route 22 when you go from our neck of the woods down towards Brewster.
Right.
And a very fair distance in front of me, there was a car turning off onto a side road, and it had its signal on, and it was slowing down, and I had plenty of time to realize that the car was going to make the turn and be off of my path by the time I got even close to it. And from a very far distance, the system sensed my closing rate on the car because I just kept my cruising speed, and I was still a very, you know, very far away from that car, and the brakes just, you know, the car just jammed on the brakes, and I... And the seatbelt tensioners went on and everything, and it you know, it did surprise.
It's a shock.
Yeah, and so I think the systems are getting perfect. And there's the other criticism of these systems is that, well, are we not seeing more rear end collisions where, you know, my car has the emergency braking system and you're following me and yours does not, mine goes on and all of a sudden you rear end me.
Right.
And yes, there are some of those situations, but overall, the system is pretty good. And what I was reading recently is that these systems are getting better. You know,
they're definitely getting better. I think the programs get updated as as the designers and the testers find systems. On an earlier version of the show, we were noting that Teslas were having trouble with their avoidance systems when they were dealing with emergency vehicles that were on the side of the road. My theory, which I said on this show more than once, was that the sensors and the testers were blinded by the strobe effect of the strobe lights, flashing blue, red at various cycles and all that, and they couldn't really read what was going on. And I'm not sure that wasn't a truthful analysis of what the problem was.
My response to that was...
It's probably been fixed by now, so it won't happen again anymore.
Yeah, well, my response to that is still the same, and I had done some research at the time, is that the human eye is no better than the Tesla camera in seeing through those flashing lights.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yes.
So I don't know whether there's a permanent fix or they're faultless. That's the point probably of that last comment. Is there a faultless system out there that's going to be fail-safe in every potential situation that it might come into play during a, you know, ownership of a car that has all this technology in it? And
I think we've talked a lot about safety today.
Yeah.
I just want to on the lighter side of things. This weekend, I again took my little sports car on.
Oh yes, you went to the track.
Well, I went to the track too, which was, you know, fun and interesting, and showed was a clear. Even though it's a little sports car, a street car is not a track car, and a fully prepped track car slash race car is always going to handle better on the racetrack. You know, stiffer suspensions, slick tires.
Right.
But yes, it was fun, and the car survived, even though it has 174,000 miles, and I took it for a Sunday drive yesterday. Did not drive it like I was driving it on the track, but again, just to mention some of the roads we have in, for what is, you know, for us, a surrounding county in Columbia County in New York State. And there are a lot of fun roads, not a lot of nice little drives you can do with, you know, a little sports car.
Well, as this show is being taped and run as we approach the fall season, you bring up good points to expand into. Generally, great things to do on weekends if you like to drive your car is to take your car out and drive around our country roads in Litchfield County, Berkshire County, Massachusetts, and Columbia and Dutchess counties in New York. Not only will you see some wonderful foliage, which I think we will have in sometime after this show is done or taped, but maybe you'll hear it again. And the roads are really nice, and there's been so much paving, as you noted in an earlier show, going on that many of the roads are markedly improved over what they were earlier on. And it makes for a very pleasant driving experience if you've got a nice car to do it in.
The money from the infrastructure bill certainly has trickled down to the to hitting the roads, the pavement, no pun intended. You know, the drive down to New York, taking, you know, Route 22, has become a much more pleasant experience, even though that's, you know, that is not one of the fun roads we were just talking about. But I think time is up, and we can continue this conversation
in a near subsequent
future.
Show.
Have a good week.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.